Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, Jesus is going away. Well, at least that's what he's preparing his disciples for. For about 3 years, Jesus has been going from village to village teaching about the kingdom of God, healing and casting out demons. The disciples have been learning from Jesus, but they have also been participators in this ministry of Jesus. They too were given authority, the authority of Jesus, to cast out demons, to teach about the kingdom of God. They've somewhat reluctantly done so. I say reluctantly because they're still learning about all of this themselves. And yet, Jesus sends them into villages on his behalf. And sometimes they come back saying they were not able to cast out a demon. It's been a learning curve for the disciples. They're always trying to understand the teachings of Jesus. They're always trying to learn whatever it is Jesus is giving them, that they may teach it to others. When I was in seminary, my first church history class, almost the entire grade rested upon two oral exams. The way it worked was there were 10 potential topics, and you had to walk in, pull one out of a hat, and talk about that topic for 10 minutes. But you didn't know which one you're going to pick, so you had to know all 10. Well, when you have to teach something, you learn it and learn it well. That's what the disciples are doing. They're trying to learn about this kingdom of God from Jesus, from his hard-to-understand parable and his seemingly veiled teachings. They're trying to learn as much as they can because they are being sent out. So this is maybe why when Jesus says what he does in our gospel lesson today, Philip and Thomas become rather anxious. Because in the gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells them, "I am going away." It is here that Jesus tells them that he's not always going to be around. He's not always going to be walking with them. They won't always be able to go to Jesus and ask him to explain what he meant by that parable. The day is coming when Jesus departs this world according to his local presence. Now, we know that Jesus is with us even today, but as the disciples heard this, they did not necessarily understand that from Jesus' words. But Jesus ascended to the Father, and he is with us even now in the preaching of his holy word. But Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And this is where it starts to dawn on these disciples, that they won't always have their teacher to run to for answers. They won't always be able to have him to elaborate on the teachings. And they will one day be the main teachers as Christ's representatives on earth. Understandably, this causes some panic. And Thomas blurts out, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can you say we know the way?" In other words, how can you say you are going away and that you'll come back if we don't even know where that is? Where is this place? We don't know how to get there. How does one get there? Thomas perhaps didn't understand that Jesus was talking about being in heaven with his Father. But Jesus never misses the opportunity to teach about God and his kingdom. You don't know the way to heaven? You don't know how to get to the Father's house? I am the way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you had known me, then you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." With these words, Jesus gives such an astounding teaching. Now, we talked about this matter of exclusivity last week, that there are not many ways to God, but there is one way to God, and that is through Jesus. But beyond that, Jesus is teaching us something about himself that is very important here. Jesus is more than just a prophet of old who is delivering a message that he is supposed to deliver. He's more than just someone with some unknown teaching, but that Jesus is the path that you take, that Jesus is the life raft that you must cling to, that Jesus is the door that you walk through. You see, Jesus is not Wikipedia that just has all the answers. Jesus doesn't tell you how to find the path. He isn't a guru that has all these methods to find yourself from within or to apply your mind in a certain way or anything else, but that Jesus is the way because he's the truth. If you want the Father, then look to the Son. Now, that really got to Philip. The Father, you know, no one has ever seen this God. Throughout the Old Testament, there have been a few appearances like the thunder and lightning on Mount Sinai or the burning bush, but still, no one has actually seen God. So, Philip asks for what seems like a reasonable accommodation. When you hear his requests, you get the sense of it being just a humble, small ask for just a little thing. He says, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." It's as if he says, just this one small little thing, and we're on board with this whole you going away thing. Just show us God, and we are all set. Now, I will admit that I could be reading into this that this is just an impression that I have that I could be wrong, but there are times when Jesus responds that sounds like Jesus is verbally giving himself a palm slap to the forehead. Because Philip asked this one small little thing to see God, and Jesus says, "Have I been with you and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" And that's the big thing we should understand about today's gospel reading. The reason Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is because Jesus is God among us. That Jesus is God come down to us, veiled in flesh and blood, walking among us so that God could be seen. The problem with Philip's little humble request of seeing God is that it would otherwise be destruction for a sinner. It's the reason throughout the Old Testament sinners did not stand in the presence of a holy God, because to do so was dangerous. How can sinful humanity stand in the presence of a holy God? God would not have his holiness violated by the likes of you. Why should the holiness of God be tainted just so that you, a sinner, may see him? The holiness of God and the filth of man's sin do not mix. They don't mix, that is, until God wraps himself in humanity and he walks in our midst. When he gives himself a human body, born of a woman, the true God can now be seen. He could be touched and even heard. Jesus is the way, not because he has all the answers, and not because he's the correct pathway, although both of those things are true. Jesus is the way because he is the one true God who now stands in the midst of Thomas and Philip and the other 10 disciples. When Philip looks to Jesus, he is looking at God. I said a moment ago that the holiness of God and the filth of man's sin do not mix. Well, that is only true until the incarnation of Christ. Because it's in the person of Christ that we see the holiness of God and man's sin mix. It's the place where we see the holiness of God clash with the transgression of mankind. And it's found in the crucifixion of Jesus. That is where we see the holiness of God meet man's sin. Where we see God's holiness utterly destroy sinful humanity, where sin causes the blow of God's righteous wrath. Jesus prepares a room in the Father's house for you, not by ascending, but by descending. When Jesus prepares a room for you, it's not the room he's preparing, it's you. He must first find a way to cleanse you of all of your sin. Because no room in the Father's house is fit for you as you are. But God would not have such sin in his house. So the way, the truth, and the life become sin for us, that we would be the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because in Jesus, by his work, by his atoning death, by his act of righteousness, you are deemed righteous. It's by his sacrifice that you are declared holy with the holiness of God. Because Christ, you are reconciled to God that you would otherwise never see. And to now have fellowship with him, to reign with him, our Lord brings you to his house and makes a room for you that you would rest in eternally in fellowship with God forever. Our gospel lesson today concludes with these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now the disciples are trying to learn everything they can, so that when Jesus is gone, they will continue this work of Jesus. But we might think, what are these greater works than that Jesus does? What is greater than Jesus healing leprosy or casting out demons or giving sight to the blind or raising the dead? What's greater than raising the dead? Well, I'll tell you. It's the work of the apostles and what they were sent to do. It is the work that the church does now, even today. It's the work of proclaiming his name for the forgiveness of sins. It's raising the spiritually dead through the waters of holy baptism. It's giving sight to the spiritually blind that they may have eternal life. You see, the church continues doing today what the apostles were sent to do almost 2,000 years ago. The church is not a place for physical healing, and it's not a place to solve all of your earthly problems. All of us gathered here have health issues and we have problems. But the church is here that we would have the forgiveness of all of our sins. That then we are prepared for that room in heaven with God. That then we are clothed with white robes of the Lamb's blood. Those are the great works of Christ that continue among us today, and they are much greater than healings and even bringing the dead back to life. Because in Christ, we have everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.